And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Wednesday, March 22, 2023. South Sudan's holdout rebel groups resume negotiations in Rome.
The group who are here now in the talks are SAF, led by General Paul Malongawan, and the other group is Relay Spelem, led by Pagana Mom, and the other one is NAS, led by Thomas Cirillo.
And a top government official says his office has no budget for providing clean water to residents across South Sudan's towns.
We need to provide safe and clean water through our 5-minute household connection. It's very important, and we are now working.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government and holdout rebel groups have resumed talks in Rome on Tuesday, months after the government pulled out of the talks citing lack of commitment from the rebels. South Sudan's Minister for Presidential Affairs, who is heading the government delegation, says the Kiir administration is committed to moving the country forward on the road to peace. For VOA News, Deng Gai Deng has more from Bor.
The Rome initiative is focused on the negotiating a peace deal between the transitional government of national unity and the non-signatories to the 2018 peace deal. Pagana Mom, spokesperson of the non-signatories to the 2018 peace deal, says the Rome talks will focus on the root causes of the conflict and how to achieve an inclusive, sustainable peace in South Sudan. Garang Malual is the spokesperson of the South Sudan United Front, led by the former leader of the South Sudan Army, General Paul Malong. Malual says the opposition umbrella group and leaders of other rebel groups are attending the Rome talks.
The group who are here now in the talks are SAF, led by General Paul Malongawan, and the other group is Relay Spelem, led by Pagana Mom, and the other one is NAS, led by Thomas Cirillo. All of them are here.
The talks is still on. Therefore, what is being discussed will be clearer by tomorrow, not today.
The Minister of Presidential Affairs, Barnaba Marial Benjamin, who also heads the government delegation, released a statement Tuesday saying the South Sudan government is committed to the Rome peace talks.
I presented the opening remarks where I expressed the commitment of the government to see that peace comes to the people of South Sudan through our dialogue with the non-signatories. The commitment of His Excellency the President, the government and the people of South Sudan cannot be overemphasized that we are ready for peace in order to accommodate our brothers and sisters in the opposition.
The agenda for this round talks will be presented by the mediation team from the community of Sant Egidio in Rome. Marial says the talks will pick up from where negotiation left off when the government suspended its participation in November 2022.
We have signed the Rome Agreement, the Rome Declaration, and the Rome Resolution, and the cessation of hostilities of 2017, of which there was commitment on all sides, and also the Declaration of Principles, which there were 13 points to be discussed, which we had initial before the talks were actually suspended. Now we are going to proceed from that process.
During his apostolic visit to South Sudan earlier last month, Pope Francis urged the leaders in South Sudan to put aside their differences and bring lasting peace to the country. The South Sudan Opposition Alliance engaged in talks with the government in the past with the aim of being incorporated into the 2018 peace deal. The National Salvation Front, led by General Thomas Cirillo Suwaka, the South Sudan United Front, led by General Paul Malongawan, and the Real SPLM, led by General Pagana Mum, are among the holdout groups attending the talks in Rome. For VOA News, I am Deng Gai Deng in Bor.
Today is World Water Day, and this year's theme is Accelerate Change. South Sudan's Minister for Water Resources and Irrigation says his ministry has no budget for the provision of clean water to South Sudanese across major towns in the country. Paul Mai Deng says the government is working with partners in the international non-governmental organizations to provide water to South Sudanese in some parts of the country, adding that he plans to present a memo in the Council of Ministers to address clean water crisis in the country.
We need to provide safe and clean drinking water through 500 household connection is very important, and we are now working to do this. Government has to mobilize resources. We will have the household connections in Juba. So this is going to take place very soon.
Water is life, and water is a human right. Just like education, just like health services, just like any other services that the government is planning to provide for the people of South Sudan. Why is water being the last option?
It is not the last option. We have provided our population in rural areas with safe and clean drinking water by drilling new boreholes, referring the broken one, and providing spare parts for the repair of those water supply system. We have very limited resources.
And talking about limited resources, it's an open secret that the international organizations in South Sudan have been championing the cost of providing water and sanitation. It appears like the non-governmental organizations are the ones in the forefront in this, the struggle for providing clean water to the South Sudanese.
Well, it seems to be so to somebody who does not have general information about how the service is delivered jointly, both by government and the humanitarian organization. So the government is actually taking lead in mobilizing funds and humanitarian organization in making sure that this service is delivered to the people.
Talk to me about this conference that you came to attend here about water issues in South Sudan. I remember last year there was a huge outcry about plans by the government of Egypt to dredge River Nam, and environmentalists were up in arms that is going to affect the wetlands in the country. Are you discussing this issue in this conference?
We have not started the discussion. It's going to start tomorrow. But what I know so far is that the issue cleaning or clearing, which is subject of discussions and engagement, especially in most of the media, is not going to be a part of discussions in New York. But for your information and clarification, the government of South Sudan has no plan to do dredging, because what we are having in South Sudan is we are flat, and the solution to this is not to dredge. And therefore, when I came to this portfolio, I have never heard any government official talking about our rivers being dredged. So the only thing that I know the government is going to do, and which has not yet been done, is that most of our rivers are silted with aquatic weeds and wooden lock. And as a result of this situation, our navigation has come to stop. And so with this, the price of commodities, especially in the states that are far away from Juba, have gone up. And so for this price to be stabilized, there is a need for us to bring our navigation system back to life.
Educate us on the budget of your ministry, annual budget of the ministry, and how you use that money to achieve this goal of providing water to South Sudanese.
We have very limited budgets meant for operations and running the ministry. And in this budget, we do not have an allocation for building or constructing water supply system that can provide water for everyone in the city. This component of the budget is missing. And if it has been there, Juba would have a system, five household connection that can supply everyone with water. But recently, we have decided that this is not the way to go, because Juba has become a very big city with a lot of buildings, and we need not to continue supplying our urban population using water tankers. There has to be a memo, which we have already written, that is going to be submitted to Council of Ministers for approval on this particular issue, so that a good amount of money is released or made available for the implementation and achievement of this objective.
That's Paul Mai Deng, South Sudan's Minister for Water Resources and Irrigation. He spoke to me via messaging app from New York on Tuesday. The global organization Action Against Hunger is urging the international community to step in and fund programs for the provision of safe drinking water and sanitation. The group's new report says 2 billion people around the world lack access to clean drinking water, while more than 4 billion people do not have access to sanitation. The report says lack of access to clean water, coupled with instabilities and climate change, are intensifying hunger in countries like South Sudan and Sudan. Bizini Asfa, Action Against Hunger's specialist in the Horn of Africa, tells Mabil Biagio the funding gap for water, sanitation and hygiene programs is contributing to global hunger.
We did some analysis and we noted that the global funding for the water sector is really underfunded compared with the previous years. According to our analysis, is only 30% of the global appeal is, for WASH is get funding from the potential and countries. So for sure, the scale of humanitarian crisis globally is very big, and the funding is going down, particularly for the WASH sector.
Your report lists 13 countries that are in crisis-level hunger as a result of this lack of funding for access to water and sanitation. And Sudan is one of these 13 countries. What do they have in common, and what other local factors contributing to hunger here?
Yeah, actually, the contribution of hunger is enormous, particularly in the Horn of Africa. I mean, the key drivers of hunger, as far as I understand, is the climate-driven hunger. And in line with the climate-driven hunger, I mean, because of weather variabilities, there are a lot of drought in the region, and it also triggers conflicts in the region. So drought and conflicts are the two drivers of hunger in the region, including Sudan.
And including, speaking of drivers of hunger, your report also makes the connection, and this is where I would like us to come to South Sudan. The report makes a connection between conflict, water access, hunger, and climate change. South Sudan has had a massive flooding for at least 3 consecutive years now, and it's a country that's in chronic conflict. I would like for you to explain the situation there and how lack of access to water is making things worse.
Yeah, South Sudan, climate change in South Sudan has two views, in the sense that there is flooding, serious flooding in South Sudan compared with other East African countries. And on the other side, there is also drought in the border to Kenya and Ethiopia. So South Sudan is, compared with other Horn of African countries, has faced lots of shocks and stresses because of the climate crisis. One of it is, as you mentioned, that the flood issue. Flood in South Sudan is very, very challenging in a sense that it covers a huge area because South Sudan is flat, and it aggravates huge displacement, internal displacement. And the war among different clans in South Sudan is also further fueling the humanitarian crisis in that particular country. So a lot of refugees are there, particularly bordering to Ethiopia and Uganda. There are a lot of refugees displaced by conflict, which is actually associated with displacement related to flooding. So flooding, conflict, and natural disasters are key in the case of South Sudan.
And finally, the focus of your report is this funding gap for programs to do with access to water and sanitation, which seems to be aligned with what officials in South Sudan are saying. We spoke with the Minister of Water. He said they don't have the budget to make safe drinking water accessible to everyone in the country. And I'm sure it's not unique to South Sudan, other countries in the Horn of Africa and around the world. What needs to be done to address this funding gap, to make water accessible to everyone?
Yeah, what's important is just the global community should have to give much attention for this funding gap. Actually, South Sudan is also one of the countries which recurrently facing funding gaps to respond to crisis. Therefore, I urge the global community to give much attention on fulfilling this huge gap on the sector. If we have that, if we get money from the potential donors, probably it will be easy just to support the national government in terms of addressing the basic human needs, that is water, sanitation, and hygiene. So the key element is just to push the global community, including the national government, to allocate significant funding for addressing the
wash-related
issues.
That's Bizini Asfa, water and sanitation hygiene specialist with Action Against Hunger in the Horn of Africa. He spoke with my colleague Nabil Biagio from Addis Ababa. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the United Nations says more than 800,000 people across the world die each year from diseases. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Still on water issues, the United Nations says more than 800,000 people across the world die each year from diseases directly attributed to unsafe water, inadequate sanitation, and poor hygiene practices. This is according to the United Nations, which says billions of people around the world still lack access to the commodity. And as the international community celebrates World Water Day today, Wednesday, the UN says increasing floods, unpredictable rainfall, and droughts threaten sustainable development, biodiversity, and people's access to water and sanitation. Maureen Ojiambo reports.
Water is essential for human well-being, energy and food production, health ecosystems, gender equality, and poverty reduction. But as the demands for water continue to rise, the United Nations estimates that about 4 billion people experience severe water scarcity for at least 1 month of the year. Today, the UN is holding a three-day conference in New York that will address the challenges facing people globally due to water scarcity. Lota Tatinen is the chief service of the Sustainable Development Outreach and Partnership Branch at the United Nations Department of Economic and Social Affairs.
The three-day conference will feature 6 official plenary meetings and 5 interactive dialogues that cover cross-cutting topics, including water and health, water and sustainable development, water and climate change, resilience and environment, water cooperation, and finally, water action decade.
In Africa, prolonged drought has led to a water crisis with more than 8.5 million people, including 4.2 million children, facing dire water shortages. Water scarcity is killing livestock, drying up crops and driving families from their homes in search of the commodity. UN Water Chairperson Gilbert Hubo says countries should accelerate progress towards achieving clean water and sanitation for all by 2030.
There are still billions of people and countless institutions and businesses living without safely managed water and sanitation services. The need for action is not only urgent, it is also desperate. We have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to tackle this global water and sanitation crisis. The health, dignity, and future of individuals, families, communities, and societies are at stake.
This year, World Water Day is concentrating on accelerating change to solve a crisis that affects 1 in 4 people who lack access to safe drinking water. The Secretary General of the UN 2023 Water Conference, Lee Junhua, says member states should act quickly to help half of the population in the world's rural areas who lack clean water.
The water is not on track to meet the water-related SDGs and targets by 2030. Untreated wastewater and agricultural runoff pose threats to environmental water quality. Climate change is projected to impact available water resources and intensified water-related disasters.
In Kenya, the increasing demand for water and its growing scarcity is exacerbated by climate change, population growth, urbanization, water pollution, and poor management of water resources. Together, they have affected economic activities, food security, education, and health. According to the UN, access to safe and clean water is a basic human right. However, in the latest report on the matter by the World Meteorological Organization, water-related hazards have increased at an alarming rate. Since 2000, floods have grown by 134%, with the duration of droughts increasing by 29%. The UN emphasizes that water must be at the center of climate policies and action, since sustainable water management helps build resilience, mitigate impacts of climate change, and protect societies and ecosystems. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiombo in Sacramento, California.
From California, we move back to Nairobi. This year's theme of World Water Day is about accelerating change to deal with a growing challenge around the globe. For instance, in Kenya, extreme drought conditions have exacerbated the impact of climate change on people's rights to water and sanitation. From the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
Like its neighbors in the Horn of Africa, Kenya is experiencing extreme drought conditions, causing tremendous suffering for millions. Peter Karanja is a technical lead for the Water, Sanitation and Hygiene Program at World Vision Kenya, a Christian charity and humanitarian organization.
The drought situation in Kenya currently is one of the worst that has happened in the last 3 drought seasons within a decade. And this reflects squarely on how climate change is negatively impacting the issue of water access. Meaning if we remain and do things as usual, the situation looks like it will worsen as we progress. At the moment, close to 12 counties are in crisis in terms of water access.
In Kenya, 3.5 million people are projected to be food and water insecure, according to the United Nations. Karanja, who spoke on a local TV station, gave more details.
And the issue of drought is not only affecting people in terms of water, but inclusive of their livelihood and their lifestyle. What development hope is being put in place so that these people can economically empower themselves, they can quench the thirst, and the children can improve on their health. The most vulnerable population are the children under five. The issue of malnutrition affects mostly the children. Waterborne diseases majorly affects the children. People are walking so far to get this water.
The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says climate change is disrupting weather patterns, leading to extreme weather events, worsening water scarcity, and contaminating water supplies. Today's World Water Day is about accelerating change to solve the water and sanitation crisis. And because water affects us all, everyone needs to take action. Susan Kokimutua is a public health officer at the Department of Public Health in the Ministry of Health.
We are ensuring that in healthcare facilities, sanitation is top-notch. In schools also, we have a program for washing schools where we make sure that the children in schools, they have adequate wash facilities. And these children also happen to be our ambassadors in their homes. So there is that training that is given because children and giving out the messages, they are perfect. When we enable them in school, they are able to take that message home. And at the same time, in the homes, the homes are also improved.
However, the Kenyan health official gave insights on the challenges in addressing the crisis.
The main challenge is the finance that goes to wash activities. That is the biggest challenge because, of course, preventive activities, not just in Kenya, but in the world over, they tend to take the back burner. We are interested in what we are seeing, instant results, and something that we can actually take and run away with. Issues of wash, we feel the effects much, much later. If it's a positive outcome, it will be felt downstream. Not immediately.
Held on 22nd March every year since 1993, World Water Day draws attention to the 2 billion people who live without access to safe drinking water. It coincides with the three-day UN Water Conference in New York. UN officials called it a once-in-a-generation moment for the world to unite around water. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
Happy World Water Day. If you must drink, drink water. And that's all we prepared for you on this Wednesday. We now leave you with some with Lomerica Just Ban and the song Salam. Listening to Lomerica Just Ban and the song Salam. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producers, Kwame Ofori and Nabil Biagio, and our engineer, Nelson Lope, we wish you a good evening and thanks for taking part in this broadcast. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Now take home, we'll see you soon, man.